Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about Gavin Ortland's response to a lot of criticism that he's received, probably from Team Evangelical Dark Web, I should say, because I'm pretty sure people on our team kind of inspired Gavin Ortland due to a video denouncing the claims that he is not, in fact, a theological liberal. Now, this is pretty fascinating because, first of all, if you are theologically orthodox, you don't really have to say that you're not a liberal. Like, I don't ever have to say I'm not theologically liberal. I don't ever have to say that I'm not politically liberal, because this is something that's so not in question. And if it is in question, there's a reason for that, generally speaking. Maybe it's that you go to a church with Russell Moore. Maybe it's that you have a gay pastor named Sam Alberry, who teaches that homosexual orientation is not sinful, who teaches that homosexual identity is not sinful, who wears a wedding ring because he's taken by Jesus, supposedly. So, and he founded an organization called Living Out, which is very gay-affirming. You can take a survey on their website to find out how welcoming your church is to homosexuals. So, that's just some of the issues. I mean, the Russell Moore, the Ray Ortland parts. You know, he goes to a very liberal evangelical church and, you know, would never be caught dead in that church at all, because that would just violate my conscience too much to be in a church that evil. But, so he doesn't really address these kind of things, but he does want to address the theistic evolution angle and the local flood belief that he articulated. Now, here's the thing about Gavin Ortland, and this is kind of what his whole argument is. His whole argument is to say that these people in the past held discredited theology, so that when I argue discredited theology today, you can't throw me out without throwing them out. So let me give you an example. Martin Luther, you know, people go after him for toying with, ultimately Martin Luther did not rule out the Book of James. He did not, you know, remove that from the Bible or anything. He didn't even remove the Apocrypha from the Bible. He just labeled it as such. But anyway, there was a debate during Luther's day about the Book of James and its authenticity. So this was something that was debated at the time, and ultimately the right conclusion was drawn. But if you were to argue today that the Book of James is not authentic, again, you would be introducing heresy, because this isn't a debate at the time, it's a discredited theology. Likewise, if you were to argue for instantaneous creation as Augustine did, that would be, again, heresy, because that theology has been so discredited. In the church, we stand on the shoulders of giants who came before us, and we got to recognize the progress that they made in developing theology. And I have more to say on this, but that's kind of the prelude, because that is Gavin Ortland's whole strategy, is to say I'm innocent by association, even though the association is completely devoid of historic context. So let's dive into this, but first I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. And again, like I said, I think we sort of inspired this, and my writer sort of inspired this, and he wrote an article about this that we're finally getting to. So here we go. Gavin Ortland's video defending his street cred. He has three main claims that he wants to defend against, but I'm only going to focus on the first two and then highlight again. He goes to a church that is heretical on the issue of homosexuality because they teach it is not a sin to have they believe in orientation and that is not sinful. And they also believe the identity is not sinful. The desires are not sinful. This is heresy. And we should not tolerate it, especially in this day and age. So let's roll tape.
Issues. First, on creation, many people today are unaware that earlier in the modern era, the leading figureheads for opposition to theological liberalism frequently rejected young earth creationism. J. Gresham Machen was perhaps the great opponent of theological liberalism in certainly the early 20th century. He's calling conservative Christians to fight against the modernists and cling to the fundamentals of the faith. He said it's certainly not necessary to think that the 6 days spoken of in the first chapter of the Bible are intended to be 6 days of 24 hours each. We may think of them rather as very long periods of time. B.B. Warfield.
So let's pause right there. What he's doing here is beginning to conflate old earth creationism with theistic evolution. So this, again, is a logical fallacy because these are not identical theologies. Old earth creationism, I guess your best argument is that the day age theory, because a lot of it's been theologically discredited, but that's kind of the only argument for old earth creationism that still has some leg to stand on. But otherwise, you know, the gap theory, which he's going to bring up, that's widely discredited. That is a horrendous reading of Genesis 1. And he's going to bring up some other things. But old earth creationism is not the same thing as theistic evolution. And another thing about theistic evolution that is worth bringing up is that it undermines the fall of man. It undermines the creation of Adam, the creation of Eve. So, and that's, again, these are ideas that Tim Keller posited. You know, the idea that there was proto-humans, that Adam was chosen as a representative of them, and when he sinned, all of creation was fallen as a result. So that's an idea that Tim Keller posited. He didn't necessarily articulate it as his own belief. He just said that this was possible and that this was interesting. So, and that is how Gavin Ortland talks about his views on creation, because he's not a scientist.
Perhaps did more than anyone to uphold the authority and inerrancy of Scripture against higher criticism. He's very clear, not a young earth creationist. The only debates are about how much evolution he allowed for and that kind of thing. You can see on the screen a perspective of his view. So right on it.
So again, let me just say, B.B. Warfield compromised on this issue. I'll say that point blank. I have no problem saying that 100 plus years later, 1888. Yeah, I have no problem saying that 140-ish years later. So why is this even work? You know, again, this is a discredited view. Theistic evolution is discredited. It is theologically liberal because, again, you're going against the Genesis narrative. You can't substantiate the view from Scripture. And it also undermines Genesis 3 as well. So the idea that B.B. Warfield wobbled on the issue of theistic evolution does not give credence to believing this 137-ish, 38 years later at all. So this is such a bad argument.
Already you can just sort of ask, you know, is Machen a liberal? Is Warfield or his other colleague at Old Princeton, Charles Hodge, a liberal? What about the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon? What's interesting about Spurgeon is when he would talk in his sermons about creation, he would speak apparently without hesitation and just casually about millions of years before Adam, for example. He doesn't seem to feel anxiety about this or a need to justify his view because the issue of the age of the earth and the nature of the days of Genesis was not as controversial in his day. In the 19th century and into the 20th century, many fundamentalists rejected young earth creationism. Take the classic book, The Fundamentals, published in 1910, edited by R.A. Torrey. This is kind of a defining set of texts for what will come to be called fundamentalism. And some of the contributors are young earth, others are old earth. They get along just fine. The young Earth people are not accusing the old Earth people of...
Now, again, I did say that he was conflating theistic evolution with old Earth, but I'm not as familiar with the fundamental authors and which ones each believed. But he is conflating some things, just to keep that in mind. So...
of not being real fundamentalists or something like that. Torrey himself founded Biola University and...
a liberal college, by the way.
He was the first pastor, if I recall, at the Church of the Open Door, famous church in Los Angeles. And he claimed anyone who is at all familiar with the Bible and the way the Bible uses words knows that the use of the word day is not limited to 24 hours. There is no necessity whatsoever for interpreting the days of Genesis 1 as solar days of 24 hours length. The Scofield Reference Bible.
So let's pause there. There's maybe not a necessity to do that, but it is the best interpretation. Again, scripture interprets scripture, and the rest of scripture seems to think this was six literal days. And now he's going to talk about the Scofield Reference Bible. If you're familiar with this channel, you know we're not a fan of the Scofield Reference Bible around here. So,
enormously popular in the 20th century among fundamentalists as well, advocated for the gap theory, a species of old earth creationism. William Jennings Bryan, who represented the...
Again, the bad Bible commentary notes in the Scofield Reference Bible had devastating impacts on Protestantism in the United States and, you know, maybe also the British Isles as well. So this was a evil book that came out by a huckster, a dude that was a scam artist named C.I. Scofield. So that dude was a deadbeat dad. And he wrote a horrendous Bible commentary. Again, we're citing a villain here to justify gap theory, which believes that there's a two separate creation events in Genesis 1 and Genesis 1-2. So, not a good argument. Yes, I discredit the...
prosecution at the Scopes trial held to a day-age view of Genesis 1, that's old earth creationism. So again, you know, you ask, was William Jennings Bryan a liberal? Is the Scofield Reference Bible liberal? Is R.A. Torrey a liberal? We could add so many names to this list. Herman Ritterboss, Norman Geisler, R.C. Sproul, Edward J. Young, James Montgomery Boyce, who was the chairman of the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy and pastored 10th Pres in Philadelphia for decades. It's very clear that his view, you can see on the screen, he thinks the earth and universe are billions of years old. So in other words, to see some historical context for this, you don't need to appeal just to the evangelicals like Carl Henry and Harold John Ockingay and Billy Graham. You can even look to many of those who would be to the right of them, including many fundamentalists.
So let's talk about 100 years ago. It was a pretty dark time in church history. I would say like the turn of the century, early 20th century, was actually a really dark time for the church that so many people compromised. And I think we'll see a lot of parallels with that looking back, say, 50 years from now, that, you know, a lot of pastors today have a lot of internalized liberalism, and it shows, and it undermines, you know, internalized feminism too, and it undermines our theology. Like, I think complementarianism is a compromise with the world compared to biblical patriarchy. I could do a whole episode on that, but we're going to look back on complementarianism, I think, in 50-ish years and say, yeah, this did not work. This paved the way for a lot of egalitarian thinking. A lot of female pastors came from the guise of complementarianism. So we're going to look back on that and say, this was a bad idea. And we similarly look back on theistic evolution, and I think for the most part, there's a reason why young earth creationism has become the dominant view in evangelicalism is because it has the best argument from scripture. So we shouldn't hold on to things that have weak arguments from scripture, like gap theory, when, you know, it's a loser argument. We shouldn't hold on to that. And that is what Gavin Ortlund is doing to defend himself, or that's what he's been doing, and he's using the people who held to bad arguments in the past to justify his bad arguments now. When we have all this wisdom now on this issue, we've had so much development on this issue.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
What about in the early church? I wrote a whole book about Augustine on this topic. He didn't think the days of Genesis were ordinary days. He thought they were a metaphor to convey instantaneous creation. He saw this as kind of a literary framework. And this is a common view. Before Augustine, you have Clement and Origen down in Alexandria. You have Didymus. You have Athanasius, the great defender of the deity of Christ. He also, as you can see on the screen, this is one summary quote. He's summarizing his earlier statements about an instantaneous creation. After Augustine, this idea of instantaneous creation is qualified by Gregory the Great, one of the most influential Christians after Augustine. It's then propagated out by Bede and Isidore of Seville, so it becomes mainstream and huge in the medieval Western tradition, not universal, but very common. Many pre-modern Christians all throughout church history have affirmed that animal death is good. It's not the result of human sin. It's part of how God made the world. Here's a passage from Augustine to that effect. In other videos, I've documented Thomas Aquinas and Basil and so many others as well. So if you need to read Genesis 1 in a literalistic manner to not be a liberal, we can just ask, was Athanasius a liberal?
Again, these people brought up arguments that have since been theologically discredited. And basically, I believe by the Reformation, like the Reformers were dunking on Augustine for his view on instantaneous creation. So this was being dunked on during the Reformation because it's bad theology at the end of the day. We shouldn't cling to bad theology of the past. And evolution, since Gavin Ortland loves himself some evolution, there's something called dead ends, which, by the way, we don't have fossil records for. But there's something called dead ends in evolution. And there are dead ends in theology. A lot of them are heretical. Some of them are just arguments that were obscure, that never became mainstream and kind of got forgotten and stuff like that. But, you know, so good example of a dead-end theology is Arianism. You're not going to say that the prevalence of Arianism in the past is a reason to bring that back now. Now, some people accidentally teach Arianism today. I think a lot of even well-meaning believers have not been discipled, so they don't understand the Trinity. So, but you're not going to say that those beliefs are justified because, you know, Arianism exists in the past. So that's, again, the argument that he's making is guilt or innocent by association with the bad ideas of the past.
Was Augustine a liberal? Now, I'm trying to give historical context here. I hope it's clear that I'm not trying to argue against young earth creationism right now. Rather, I'm trying to show that seeing this as a litmus test for whether you're liberal is an eccentric classification. So for people who watch my YouTube channel who are of a young earth creationist perspective, by all means, God bless you. Advocate for your view. Make your argument. You are my fellow Christians. You are most welcome to advocate for the truth. What I'm just saying is, let's not, what most of you, vast majority of young earth creationists I know, understand, this isn't a litmus test for liberalism. So just say Gavin Ortland is wrong on creation. Don't say he's wrong on creation and therefore he's a liberal.
Again, you can't be a theistic evolutionist and also hold to biblical inerrancy. That's a hill I will defend, and I'm not going to retreat from that hill. And that was Tim Keller. He was theologically liberal. He did not affirm the inerrancy of Scripture because he believed in theistic evolution. He did not believe that, same with William Lane Craig. They don't believe that Genesis 1 through 11 is historic. They believe it's, they kind of use the word poetry, even though it's not poetry. It's narrative.
Because when someone says, if you reject young earth creationism, then you're a liberal, and they don't even give an argument for it, what they're actually saying is, I've never studied this issue. I don't have any awareness of Christianity outside my own little parochial context, because that's an eccentric classification. That would mean all these fundamentalists and the warriors for conservative, for the fundamentals themselves, like Machen and Spurgeon and Warfield and Torrey, et cetera, were all liberals. And so at least you need to make an argument for that. You can't just assume that, right? So I am in no way trying to put a jab at somebody or attack somebody or demean somebody. For good faith viewers who just are exploring the truth about this, I am not trying to attack you. I am not trying to embarrass anybody. But the dogmatism and the entrenched ignorance surrounding this topic and just the way the discussion plays out today, I'll talk about the sin of slander in a second, just what is happening, the way we have these conversations, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And we need to be aware of the historical backlog to this issue. So I would just encourage us to see the difference between whether you interpret Genesis 1 literally or not as a matter of interpreting the Bible. It's not whether we accept the scripture. And I think that's so basic, but I actually think I'm making this video because I think it needs to be said right now. Okay, what about the flood? So my view is that the flood of Noah in Genesis 6 through 8 was probably a regional event. Sometimes I say regional rather than local, because when people hear the word local, they think small, like a zip code. And I think it was a vast flood that covered the known world. I'm just saying I don't think we need to think of it as going to Hawaii and Japan and the South Pole, etc. And my reasons for this is not that I reject the account, it's that I'm trying to interpret ancient Hebrew language. This is about biblical hermeneutics. I'm trying to understand, for an ancient Hebrew mindset, and they don't know that Earth is a round object orbiting the sun between Venus and Mars. So when they use the words kol eretz, all the earth, or all the land, or all the territory, what did they mean by that? What were they intending to convey by that? It's a matter of interpreting the text. And again, we can get some perspective about this from church history. There's a long tradition of interpretation that recognizes basically the way that same language is used in Genesis 6 through 8 is used all throughout the Hebrew Bible, including Genesis 10 and 11, for the known world. Actually, comparable language is used in the New Testament, like in Acts 2, every nation under heaven and so forth. And I've made my full case for this. You're aware if you watch my videos for this, but just a brief overview to say, this is a
Just as a disclaimer, I've already done a video on his view on local flood and how he does a lot of the same arguments of trying to find people in the past that slightly agree with him. But in that video, he lies about Josephus believing in a local flood because it's so easy to look up Josephus. It's like in the very beginning of his works. So you don't even have to read that far into his writings, and it's online. And he did not believe in a local flood. So he was trying to find precedent for the view of a local flood, which really does not exist in the ancient world.
Common view going back to the church fathers, interpreting the flood as local. You can see this passage from Theodoret on the screen. It's likely written by Theodoret. Jewish thinkers like Josephus appear to have thought of the flood as not universal throughout all the world.
Again, this is a lie.
That remains a common view. It's a minority view. And it's argued against by Augustine in the City of God. But it is there, and it remains there all the way up into the modern era, including among fundamentalist Christians. This is why the great Dutch Reformed theologian Herman Bavinck calls the debate between a partial versus a universal flood an issue that has always been in discussion. And Bavinck notes that most recent geologists and theologians in his day favor a partial flood, and he gives a lot of reasons for that. Bavinck is not describing liberal Christians or geologists or theologians, and he himself is not a liberal. In this video that I've made,
But he is on this issue. That's the thing. You're using discredited science to interpret the Bible. That does make you a liberal on this issue. You're using discredited science to undermine the miracles of God. That is classic theological liberalism, to undermine the miracles of God, to undermine the inerrancy of Scripture. The only argument that Gavin Orton's using to defend himself from the inerrancy part is that we're just interpreting the Bible to mean what it does not actually mean. Again, what does the Bible say about the flood?
I go through a lot of examples of this. You can see a local flood being advocated by very conservative texts, like conservative study Bibles, like the ESV study Bible, and you can see this wonderful, helpful note from T. Desmond Alexander, or conservative evangelical commentaries like Derek Kidner. I'll put a passage from him on the screen. Or from people, a lot of people in the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and Westminster Seminary in Pennsylvania, wonderful institutions, very conservative. You can see faculty at Westminster, like the older faculty member Meredith Klein, advocating for a local flood view, or Paul Seeley in the Westminster Theological Journal, or Vern Poitras, who also teaches at Westminster more recently.
So we're
citing,
give
many, many more examples.
So we're citing seminary professors, which, if you know anything about the history of false teaching, where does it originate? In the seminaries.
The best overview of this in church history, the historical interpretation of the flood, is from Davis Young in this book. And he writes, by the early part of the 20th century, few biblical scholars any longer endorsed the notion of a universal or geologically significant flood. Conservatives had matured in their thinking about the implications of science. They maintained an intense commitment to an infallible Bible. When they began to propose non-traditional ways of interpreting the deluge story that reflected this awareness, there were no cries of alarm that the Bible was being abandoned.
But there should have been, because, again, you're using the discredited science of that day to interpret the Bible, to undermine the miracles of God. This is clearly a reason for, you know, a cause for alarm. And that is why this view is not acceptable in the church, really, to this day anymore. So there's a reason why Gavin Ortland is labeled a theological liberal, because he's clinging to this discredited view of Scripture from the past, because, again, he's a wolf. He's here to undermine biblical theology, and that's his role, and that's what he's doing here.
The reason why so many conservatives took this view is because they're saying, look, to make it global, you also have to radically reshape your thinking. A lot of the people who believe in a global flood have to believe in rapid evolution after the flood, like really, really rapid, like insanely rapid evolution after the flood. There's a lot of reasons to question that view. But again, I'm not trying to attack it right now.
There really aren't. There are creation events after the 6 days. You know, for instance, when Jesus makes the miracle and feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, that is a creation event in a sense, because he is creating matter. So obviously God can work miracles and he sustains creation. That's the character of God. So I don't really see that. I mean, there's other examples of like minor creation events in Scripture.
I would argue against it right now. I'm just trying to explain some context to say this is a matter of interpreting how the ancient Hebrew language works. And I make the case more fully in my first video on this. The point for now is, if all you say is, oh, he's a liberal because he believed in the local flood, this is an expression of ignorance. This is an expression of, I've never read a book on this, and I'm just kind of going with the emotions of the moment, not historical evaluations and what has generally been true of Christianity. The third issue, and I'm not trying to...
And I don't care about the third issue, but again, he talks about historical context, but doesn't see why things developed the way that they did. And in order to cling to the bad ideas of the past. Now, he doesn't talk about his, you know, heretical views on side B theology. He doesn't talk about that. Doesn't talk about his church, which is extremely liberal. Doesn't talk about that. Doesn't talk about Ray Ortland, his father, who's, you know, endorsing gay-affirming church signs just last week. So he doesn't talk about a lot of the issues as to why he's a liberal, but he does focus on two biggies. But when he talks about what his views on the creation is, which I don't think he'll articulate an actual view, because that is what these people do. They want to remain aloof because they don't really believe what the Bible says. That's my thoughts on that, and I think his arguments against defending himself from theological liberalism, it relies on discredited theologies because therefore his arguments are really discredited. You know, no one's like gap theory is such a bad interpretation of Genesis 1. We could talk, you know, and appealing to the Scofield Reference Bible doesn't change that. In fact, it makes your argument even worse. So those are my thoughts on that. Have a blessed day, stay based, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.